This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
We approach 4 o'clock on a Tuesday. And that means something on this March 4th. Right now, we have just hit the NFL franchise tag deadline. And in years past, that's been a big deal around here.
Ooh, who got tagged?
Yeah, I mean, really nothing that exciting, to be honest with you. It wasn't a sexy tag deadline.
T. Higgins got tagged.
Mm-hmm. Sam Darnold did not get tagged.
No, we didn't knew that wasn't happening. Go to free agency. Don't make the giant mistake. Let him go to free agency.
And
let it work its way out from there. I don't think there were a ton of tags.
No, there wasn't. That's what's going to be the most interesting thing of this deadline, because I understood Minnesota tagging Sam Darnold. The tag of, you know what, let's bring him back on a one-year deal.
Yeah, but it's just so high.
It is high, but isn't that better than getting locked into a multi-year deal, especially if you're Minnesota and you believe in J.J. McCarthy? Like, I'd almost rather have him on a high-end one-year deal than bring him back on a multi-year deal, which there are rumors they're interested in doing. I would not do that if I'm the Minnesota Vikings.
Not for them, though.
What?
They have the absolute least amount of draft capital of any team because of their trade-ups.
What does that have to do with this?
If you do the franchise tag for a quarterback, it is going to hog. There's no way of funding that cap number this
right.
year. They need to be active and smart in free agency this
then
year.
Let them go. Like, to me,
there are
three options.
Well, they are.
Those are the three options. It's tag them, it's keep them, or it's let them go. I'm against keeping him on a multi-year deal. To me, the only two options would be to tag him or to let him go. They're going to let him go, cool.
They have two of their own picks.
Yeah,
they have their first round pick, which is 24, and their fifth round pick, which is the 22nd pick, 161, in the fifth round. They have a comp pick in the third, and the Cleveland Browns' fifth round pick. That's it. Mm-hmm. They have four picks, two of which are their natural picks.
Would they get any value out of tagging? Well, they didn't now, but tagging him and trading him, where that would have served no purpose whatsoever because no one would have had interest.
No interest because nobody would have traded for
Sam Darnold. I think exposed himself in his last 2 weeks.
That's the problem.
As a Minnesota Viking quarterback.
All he had to do was still lose.
Right.
And like, history doesn't change itself, but look equitable.
I think you're foolish if you give him big money. Right. Like, if Sam Darnold was coming on a cheap one-year deal, sure, why the hell not? But I think he's asking for a lot, and I think it would be a mistake if the Vikings extended him on a big deal. But they're not tagging him, and the tag deadline has now passed. Now, before we get back to your calls, we got some baseball to mix in. It's another edition of Almost Champions. We've asked the committee here at WFAN, there is a committee, we don't know who's on it, to rank the last 15 Almost Champions in New York, New Jersey sports. Teams that got to an NBA Finals, a Cup Finals, a World Series, a Super Bowl, and give them the honor that they deserve. Rank them as the most beloved Almost Champions. Yesterday, in the debut edition, the 2024 Yankees pulled up the rear at number 15. The 81 Yankees was at 14. And the 85 Islanders, well, they got screwed. They went to their fifth straight Cup Finals, finished at 13. Today, we hear 12, 11, and 10. The committee says love from the fans, legacy, how good they were. They factor all of that in when ranking these Almost Champions. Tiki's very nervous because, remember, he's going to be on this list at some point. Will that team finish in the top 5, top 10? We're going to hear him right now. I don't know, and I can see you're nervous. I understand. I'm nervous,
too. I'm not nervous.
I got a lot of almost champions.
My 2000 Giants team gets a lot of love.
It does get a lot of love. But will it get the ultimate love? Ladies and gentlemen, almost champions, number 12.
Number 12, the 2001 New Jersey Devils.
Penguins will be 9-9 in the playoff year. Countdown underway at the Meadowlands. The New Jersey Devils have won the Eastern Conference 4-2 over the Pittsburgh Penguins.
And I'll never forget Game 7 of the Cup Finals when they were almost champions, losing to Joe Sakic and the Colorado Avalanche. Sure. And I was watching that game down in D.C. with a diehard Avalanche fan, and I was rooting big for the Devils. I was like, you know what? Screw Joe Sakic.
Let's go Devils.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to a Devils game this weekend.
Are you?
Yeah.
Maybe you can save their season.
Maybe.
Because they're sinking.
Was that the Ray Bourque Colorado Avalanche? Was he on there, Hockey Historian, Sean?
I got to look up which.
Yeah, you don't know.
Did you even watch that cup final?
Yeah, yes, I do. I actually left the Little East Neck Feast to watch Game 7. I think it was the Devils, 2001.
Yeah, they lost in 7 to the Colorado Avalanche.
Sakic, Forsberg.
What were you sacrificing by leaving the Little East Neck Feast? Was there, like, fried chicken? Was there,
meatloaf?
Zeppelis.
I could tell you this. That age and my husky build, I was not leaving a makeout session behind a dumpster.
Fair enough.
That certainly wasn't happening. And here we go.
Congratulations to the 2001 New Jersey Devils. I mean, they were almost champions, getting to a Game 7 of the Cup Finals. Let's hear number 11.
Number 11, the 2003 New Jersey Nets.
To the New Jersey Nets, to Lewis Katz, to the entire Nets organization, you're now the two-time Eastern Conference champions. And it's on to the NBA Finals.
Oh, God.
Evan, remind me, is this the one that I went to?
This is the one where they actually did win a finals game. They lost to San Antonio in 6, so yes, you were there.
I was at one of these games, and they played Jewel at halftime.
There you go.
And we found out Evan was at one of these games, and it might have actually been the same one.
No, I was living in D.C. at the time, so I came up, and I was lucky enough or unlucky enough to be at Game 5.
No, that's not the one I was
at. Of the NBA Finals. The Nets wore their ABA jerseys that night. Steve Kerr had some big threes in the fourth quarter. And that's when I knew we're not winning an NBA championship. But it was 2-2. It was back in the old 2-3-2 format. So Game 5 was at the Meadowlands, and it was my first ever playoff game at home in New Jersey to see the Nets play. My first Nets playoff game was actually in Charlotte a year earlier. I drove down to Charlotte while I was living in D.C. And it turned out to be, ready for this, the final Hornets game at home of that iteration of the Charlotte Hornets.
Wow.
They moved to New Orleans right after it.
Yeah. I think that was a Game 3.
I think so. Spurs won Game 3. Spurs won Game 1. Nets won Game 2. Spurs won Game 3. Nets won Game 4. Spurs won Game 5. And then the Nets collapsed.
Was Game 5 the Kmart flu game?
No, Game 6.
Was Game 6?
He was terrible in Game 6.
Game 5, I'm pretty sure, was Father's Day. They also lost 2 games the entire postseason before the NBA Finals.
No. And they were both in the first round of the playoffs. Yeah. They swept Boston in the semis and then swept Detroit in the Eastern Conference Finals. The 0-3 Nets, wow, that means they're behind the 0-2 Nets, which is very interesting. Anyhow, here's number 10.
Number 10, the 2002 New Jersey Nets.
The New Jersey Nets will continue one of the most remarkable one-season turnarounds in NBA history. From 26 wins last year to a trip to the NBA Finals. An amazing story. The New Jersey Nets are in the NBA Finals. Byron Scott, and the Nets eliminate the Boston Celtics in 6 games. It's been a wonderful season for the Celtics, a great turnaround, but they fall short to what was the better team in this series.
You're damn right it was the better team. I'm very mixed about this because when they won in 2002, and it was one of the most remarkable turnarounds in New York sports or any sports history, I was actually on the radio as they beat the Celtics that night. I'll never forget it.
Right.
And it was tough. So because I was on the radio and I was trying to do a show, my emotion was pure electric excitement. And the producer at the time
were
of the
you
show.
Still, like, you're a huge Net fan?
Diehard Nets. I've always been a diehard Nets fan.
I know that, but how? I don't understand.
What do you mean, how? Why do people
ask that?
Because it's in Jersey.
So? The Giants are in Jersey, too.
But that's like 16 games a season. You weren't going to the games, were you?
Yeah, well, not a lot, but we went to a few. My dad would take me to one or two a
that's
year.
That's a hike, bro.
I watched every game on FS1 back in the day. Now, I was a diehard New Jersey Nets fan, but I was on the radio at the time. And my producer, it was a fill-in producer, saw my excitement, saw I was distracted, and said it into the earpiece. He said, Evan, I'm going to get a guy I know. He's a big sports fan, and I think he likes the Nets to celebrate this moment with you. I said, okay. That guy who called up to celebrate the moment with me, I had never met him. I wasn't friends with him, but I was told he likes the Nets. And so I shared that emotional moment on XM Satellite Radio with a fellow named Don LaGreca.
Get out.
And it was I don't know if Don remembers that at all, by the way, but I do.
Because it was so freaking awesome. Like, I'm going to the NBA Finals. I think I was screaming at him, we're going to the NBA Finals!
Now, I later found out Don really didn't give a crap, but he was very nice that night.
A Net fan?
He's more of a hockey guy.
But he didn't like the Nets at all.
I think he
just kind of just was placating.
No, I think he was placating right. A little bit, but I appreciated that because it was cool to have that moment with somebody, even if that somebody like didn't care as much about the Nets. He was a New York guy, he's a New York sports guy, and I'll never forget that. So that was very special. And there's no way, by the way, that Don remembers that. I do.
Almost knocked out in the first round, too.
Oh, Indiana.
Double overtime. What? Reggie off the backboard?
Oh, God, that killed me. The Reggie Miller game-tying half-court shot, I was on the radio for as well. And I almost died on the air. That was the original Tommy. I'm going to die. I'm dead. But in 03, real quick, and then we'll get off this, I promise. When they won the
Nets. This is your chance to talk Nets.
Well, Indianapolis Nets.
This is it, because these are their two representatives and almost champions. When they won the East in 03, they swept the Pistons.
I was
not
just talking about almost champion.
Just in general?
The Nets still in the league?
No, you're right. Fair point. When they won the East, I was at my ex-girlfriend's house. Mm-hmm. I was in her basement by myself because I said, listen, I need to watch this by myself. And when they beat the Pistons, and it was inevitable because they beat the crap out of them after that close game one. When they got to the finals for a second straight year, my reaction was so different than a year earlier. I bawled like a baby.
Why?
Because I couldn't believe that they did it again. And I genuinely thought, and Sean knows this.
How old were you?
I was 20 years old. I'm a baby.
Okay.
I genuinely thought, we're winning the whole God freaking thing. Sorry, I was about to GD it.
Me too.
We are going to win. So I cried out of, I can't believe we're back. And this time, we are going to win the NBA championship. And they came close. They did not. I think the committee absolutely screwed the Nets. I think it was disrespectful that they were only 11-10. And I feel like the three almost champions today was let's throw Jersey a bone and stick them in the corner.
Dude, football, I mean, the Giants got to be in there somewhere. So
oh, they will be.
That's also Jersey.
That's, well, it's a different. It is, but it's different, as you know. All right, almost champions tomorrow, 4 o'clock. We'll check in and see who finishes 9-8-7. But congratulations to the Nets for how they did. Let's get to some of your calls, and then we'll address David Stearns' big mistake, and Aaron Boone give us a hint at third base. But let's go to Scott in Rockland County. What's up, Scott?
Hey, I need y'all to educate me on football. To me, it doesn't make sense to go out and get a veteran quarterback and waste the years and the money when, if you look at the top 15, just based on QR rating,
right?
Is that you got? Jalen, you got Daniels, you got Hurts, you got Purdy, you got Tua, you got these young guys, you know, Murray and Jackson.
Right.
They all have a success. And they weren't backing up Manning and Brady.
Right.
They're backing up Carson Wentz, Andy Dalton, Colin Kaepernick, pedestrian journeyman outside of Flacco. So why not go get the best available quarterback today?
I mean, you're right, and that's what the Giants should do. It's just easy. I think easier said than done. I think the Jets are in the same situation, but the Jets have a viable starter on their roster already in Tyrod Taylor. So it's not urgent for what we led with. If you rewind two hours ago at the top of our show, Evan just wants Cam Ward. It's not like the Jets don't need Cam Ward. They need a quarterback of their future, but it's not desperation other teams. Like the Commanders last year, they needed a quarterback.
Well,
they had to get one.
It's possible.
The Texans needed a quarterback. The Bears needed a quarterback. The Jets need one, but they don't need one.
Well, there's a decent chance they don't draft one, to your point. I mean, they could very well say, all right, we've got Tyrod Taylor, we've got Jordan Travis, we'll add a third guy to the room, and that may well come in free agency.
Right.
That may come from a Justin Fields or a more veteran player. What I'm saying is that in the AFC, in a division with Josh Allen, in a conference with Lamar Jackson, in a conference with the true NFL final boss and Patrick Mahomes, if you want to compete with those guys, then you are going to need a quarterback. And I don't want to just ignore Joe Burrow. He exists too. But to compete with those guys, you're going to need a quarterback that's somewhat close to that level.
Yeah.
And so that's why I like the idea of swinging for the fences with trading up and drafting Cam Ward as opposed to getting very conservative, almost checking down by saying, let's bring in Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, because when you think about the Pat Mahomes in particular, the final boss, as you say, unless you are an elite coordinator or elite game planner like Bill Belichick was, it is hard to beat that dude. It's just hard.
Clearly.
And so I think the Eagles were uniquely positioned because they're just a superior defensive front for what was the weakest point of the Kansas City Chiefs team this year, which was their offensive line. They just took advantage of it. It's rare that you're going to do that. It's rare that you're going to outplay them for 60 minutes like the Eagles did.
No, it's very tough to do, but I do know this. Tyrod Taylor, Kirk Cousins, probably Justin Fields, they're not winning you a Super Bowl. And so the goal, the end game, is to finally get there. Now, I know it's not happening next year. I'm not suggesting that, but you want to at least take those swings to find that guy who can possibly get you to that level.
Right.
Let's go to Jason up in Cooperstown. How are you, Jason?
Hello, Evan. How's it going? Thank you for taking my call.
No problem. What's up,
Jason?
Thank you. I just wanted to say I think the idea of trading up is absolutely wrong, and there's something that the NFL GMs are not understanding that basketball has figured out.
What's up?
All of these kids play 6 months of organized ball, and then they're picked out of the hat. There is no look at your tape, improve your play, give us something else next year to see what type of player you could be. The way to win in the draft is quantity, not quality. You need to get as many picks as possible because there's just not enough information on these kids, and there's not going to be with the way this model is. A lot of NBA teams have figured that out, and they just stockpile and stockpile and stockpile picks, hoping that one of them become that generational talent that you're looking for. Thank you, guys.
Appreciate you.
Thank you very much, Jason.
Jason, up in Cooperstown. I'll see you late July.
You're going up to Cooperstown?
Of course.
Oh, for CeCe.
CeCe's my dude, man.
Oh.
I was like, Tiki, a vacation in Cooperstown.
I thought the same thing.
That's not Iceland.
It's funny. My kids have been. I've never been. They went for like this one of those Little League baseball tournaments.
Oh, it's awesome.
I haven't gone, though.
Cooperstown is so beautiful. And what makes Cooperstown great is, like, unlike Canton, the Pro Football Hall of Fame, if I'm going to convince my wife and my kids to go to Canton, it's a selfish, I'm going to go see a football museum. And it's a great football museum.
Right.
And that's it. When you go to Cooperstown, it's not just a great baseball museum. There are restaurants. There's a beautiful lake.
Okay, hold on.
There's shopping.
There's shopping and lakes and restaurants on Siberia.
No, not in Canton. And they're not pretty in Canton. No. Like, Cooperstown is a gorgeous. Have you been there?
Yeah. I've been to Cooperstown when I was like maybe like 10 years old or something.
You don't count then. You haven't been there in 20 years.
I've been here
30 years.
But if you were a travel agent and you said, I'm going to sell you on this area, it's got a lake.
It doesn't matter. I'm going anyways.
You are going anyways. All I'm saying is he's completely
send us a postcard, Atika.
I will.
With all due respect, guys, you're dead wrong. So like 2 years ago, well, I want to be respectful. Two years ago, I say to my wife, or my wife says, let's do a weekend trip. What are you thinking? I throw a bunch of places out there, which included Cooperstown.
Right.
And she's like, Cooperstown is really nice. Is there like a place we can go? Kids will have fun. We ended up getting not an Airbnb. It wasn't that. It wasn't a hotel. It was like almost a home that you could rent. But it wasn't an Airbnb. On the lake, on the Cooperstown Lake, whatever it's called, the kids are on the beach playing. We're going out to dinner. We're drinking wine. We barely went to the baseball museum. Farmer's Market on a Sunday. My in-laws loved it.
Bed Bath & Beyond. I don't know if we'll have enough time.
No, not Bed Bath & Beyond. None of that. But it was such a beautiful upstate New York vacation that I think you're just missing the boat on
can
this.
Can I volley something back to you? So I went to Cooperstown when I was a kid, and I found it fun. Wouldn't that be enough for your sons to have fun at Cooperstown?
Well,
because it's like
about
a whole block of stuff to do. Well, why do they need a lake?
Well,
and,
first of all, you're changing the subject now. Now you're moving the goalposts because you realize you don't know anything about Cooperstown.
All right, what's the lake?
The lake is beautiful, man.
It's got water or not?
They got Oswego? Oswego Lake?
I'm looking at it. You tell me.
Oswego Lake?
Yeah.
I think that's what how you pronounce it.
There are, like, for me, the museum would be enough. My kids, especially when we did it 2 years ago, they're 6 and 2. So, no, the museum is not
2 years old,
dummy.
So,
it's a beautiful, gorgeous town. Like, this is not one of those opinions I have that I'm wrong about that you can mock. This is just one of those things with, especially Loogie. You just you're misinformed. I don't know about you, Sean. I don't know what your deal is.
But
it's a beautiful place to go. And by the way,
I never said it wasn't.
When Tiki gets back from Cooperstown, he will agree with me and say, Evan's right.
Yeah, look,
I went for my guy, but boy, that's a beautiful place.
But the problem is,
I'm looking at the photos right now.
Tiki, they have restaurants.
It's gorgeous. I mean, they better have restaurants.
You're parsing that beautiful restaurant. Small town vibes, man.
There are 500 small towns within 50 miles.
And they all have waitresses named Flo.
With the same villages, the same baseball card shops, the same ice cream shops, the same nice little bistros.
No, they don't.
Yes, there are. By the way, every stop on the Long Island is the same village of Cooperstown.
Me and my wife are going to Cooperstown for CC's Hall of Fame induction.
Exactly.
So it doesn't matter about all those stops along the way up 87 or wherever the heck it is.
We're not arguing you. We're arguing his oversight.
No, but you would be arguing with him because most people are going, yes, with the museum being the center part, but look at these other things you can do. What I brought up is Canton. Canton sucks. There's nothing to do in Canton. Springfield, Massachusetts, where the Basketball Hall of Fame is, also not that great. It's off a highway. So, of course, the museum is the center, but there's such beautiful stuff to do around it that it does make it a wonderful trip.
So you can make it a full weekend.
Which is what we did. Like, I'm telling you, we spent like two hours at the museum. The rest of it was on a lake. We're eating dinner. We're eating lunch. We're going to a farmer's market.
All right, let's look
Everybody
this up.
Was happy.
Things to do. Family fun. There's outdoors. There's shopping. There's arts and culture.
Geese.
That's why they're confused. They don't know what arts and culture.
There's tours. There's everything. There's a museum.
No, there's
not,
plenty
not
to do.
Cooper's, not the baseball Hall
Fellas,
of Fame.
Fellas, just take the L and move on. This is an easy
one. You're selling him on a farmer's market.
Fenimore Art Museum.
Art Museum. We went there, too, by the way. That's the other thing we did. See, you guys aren't cultured. You have no idea.
Oh,
you
you're cultured. The guy who doesn't put on deodorant is cultured.
You're not exactly
Calvin
Klein.
Have you ever been to
Wax Museum? There's a Wax Museum.
Yes.
History of Baseball Wax Museum.
I didn't go into that one.
Oh, what's wrong with you?
I don't know. It's just, there's so much stuff that you have to pick certain things
to do. They have performing arts and theater, so outdoor performances. This is going to be amazing. It's in the middle of July. It's going to be hot.
Thank you.
Historic sites
Thank
as
you.
Well. Oh, man, this is going to be awesome.
Thank you. Take your L and move on, fellas.
Yes.
Let's go to Scott and Chatham. What's up, Scott?
That's an easy one.
What's up, man?
What's up, Scott?
Hey, how you doing? I was just thinking about the moving up for Cam Ward, losing a second and a first. I think there's a guy comparable to him that's playing. And if you don't think he's much better than him, I don't think it's worth it. Trent Richardson. I think they're comparable a little bit.
Oh, Anthony Richardson.
Anthony Richardson.
Anthony.
I think it's a little bit different. One, just to explain Anthony Richardson's history, he barely played quarterback in high school. He goes to Florida. He plays 13 games, I believe, and then he gets drafted in the first round. And very little experience, gets hurt right away, doesn't do anything for a year, the rest of that season, and then struggles mightily with one of the lowest completion percentages in the history of football last season, it seemed like. And so Cam Ward was at a junior college, then he went to Washington State for 3 years, and then 2 years at Miami. I mean, he's got a lot of football under his belt. So it's a completely different experience situation, and I think he's a completely different quarterback. First of all, Anthony Richardson is probably the greatest athlete any of us will ever see.
Right.
Ever. He's 260 pounds. He runs a 4.440. He's got a cannon for an arm, but there's just that football learned IQ disconnect right now. He just hasn't had enough football in him.
I'll give you a comp, and I saw this name mentioned, and then I watched, and I said, let me see if I see it.
Ben Roethlisberger.
Ben Roethlisberger.
Yeah, I knew that was one.
Do you buy that?
I do. I do. But I think Ben was bigger. Like, Ben was monster. Ben was 6'5". Cam Ward is
6'3".
Cam Ward is, what, 6'1"? Maybe? I mean, he doesn't feel like that massive, overpowering presence. Even though he plays that way, I also saw Sam Darnold as a comp.
Which, by the way, is not the, like, Sam Darnold is...
And not in a, like a, what we think of Sam Darnold.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 3-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't know, as an NFL player, but who Sam Darnold was in college.
Yeah.
Like the gunslinger, like uber confident, knows exactly what he wants to do, even if sometimes he's making mistakes.
I don't know how to view Sam Darnold anymore because you just heard us talk about him about 15 minutes ago in terms of the franchise tag. And I said, look, I wouldn't sign him long term.
Yeah.
But I also don't think he stinks.
No, he doesn't.
Like he's
stink.
Somewhere in the middle where I wouldn't mind him quarterbacking my team, but I also wouldn't get into bed with him and give him a big time contract.
Yeah.
SNY Fan Choice poll is sponsored by Dunkin', the official coffee of Evan and Tiki. Who will be the Giants quarterback in 2025? Cam Ward, Shador Sanders, Aaron Rodgers, or other? Go to sny.tv/vote to cast your vote.
Wow.
We'll get back to your calls in a second. Also, a little baseball to mix in. A mistake I believe David Stearns made, and Aaron Boone gives us a little bit of a hint of the future at third base. I'm going to tell you something, and I hope I'm wrong, because I want the New York Mets to be incredibly successful. I want David Stearns to be right about every move he's made, because I'd rather be wrong and happy than right and miserable. But I was floored. I have to admit, I was stunned. I take it out for what I thought Jose Quintana was going to get in free agency and what he ultimately got. So over the last week or so, a couple of weeks, with the Mets battling some spring training injuries, first Frankie Montas, now Sean Manaea, one of the easy things the Mets could have done was pick up the phone and say, hey, let's bring Jose Quintana back. The guy pitched pretty well last year, especially down the stretch. He's been with the team for a couple of years, left-hander, pretty reliable. But the negative towards bringing Quintana back was, well, what's he going to get financially? And I even made a prediction to you. I want to hold myself accountable to this. I said, take if Justin Verlander's getting $15 million and Quintana was better last year and he's younger and he's a lefty, he'll probably get the same thing. To your fairness, you said, I think he'll do a little bit less, name value.
Right.
But you said, he'll get $12 million.
Right.
Now,
But it's also because it's just he's waited this long.
He has waited this long.
The market is just not that great, apparently.
Sure, he's not going to get necessarily what Montas got or get what Manaea got. But I figured he's still going to get money. And since the Mets are facing the Cohen tax of having to pay at a 110% tax rate, even if, yes, Quintana makes sense, if you give him $10 million, you're really giving him like $22 million. Mm-hmm. So I understood why the Mets would say, hey, that's too rich for a guy that we're signing as a depth starter. He signs with the Brewers yesterday. My first reaction to you is, hey, it'll be interesting to see what he got.
Right.
He ended up getting the same money that David Stearns gave Griffin Canning, $4.5 million, which if you include the Cohen tax is about $10 million, which I say is pretty good value for Jose Quintana. So I think that either if you're a Met fan, you can say, hey, Steve, could you throw in an extra 10 mil? Or you can look at David Stearns and say, boy, Dave, you kind of misread the pitching market when you rushed to give Montas $17.5 million and you rushed to get, not rushed, but gave Griffin Canning the same amount of money you could have given Quintana.
Yeah.
Fair criticism.
Yeah, it is a fair criticism, but I mean, you can only judge it by what happens going forward, right? Because right now we're just guessing on what the season's going to bring for Griffin Canning and also what it brings for the Mets. But if it works out and it's fine, then it's okay. Maybe he,
of course,
maybe he was just smarter than all of us.
Maybe. And I'm hoping that's the case.
Yeah, I am. I think you got to have to assume that that's the case.
Well, I think
until it's not.
Look, Jose Quintana, because I do want to draw the negatives, is 36 years old.
Yes.
Griffin Canning is still relatively young. The Mets throw him in the pitching lab, and maybe they get more out of Canning than the Brewers get out of Quintana. And I'm hoping that's the case. Like, I hope that's the case. But as I sit here today on March 4th, if we want to have, like, an honest conversation, would I rather have Quintana than Griffin Canning? Yeah! I mean, would I rather have Quintana than Frankie Montas?
Only because you're very aware of what he can do. And you're not sure about Canning yet.
Sure.
You just don't know yet.
No, you're right. And what's funny about Quintana last year is that he wasn't having a great year. It was the final month where he was so awesome, it brought his numbers down to a respectable 3.75 ERA. But before that, Quintana was the guy that most Mets fans were done with. But look, I also know that when you're signing free agents, you don't know what the future holds. You don't know, hey, Quintana's not going to sign until March, and when he does, he's going to have to sell for $4.5 million. Can you imagine a lefty at 36 years old coming off a 170-inning season, making 31 starts with a 3.7 ERA, basically the same numbers as Carlos Rodon?
Yeah.
Getting $4 million?
But here's the
thing. Kind of crazy, man.
It is, but think about the philosophy that you've been talking about, you have been talking about, that David Stearns is espousing for it since he got here. Not even overpaying, but really not even paying aging veteran pitchers.
No, I get you.
They're just not going to do it. It's like the anti, pre-David Stearns mentality with the Mets, where you're going to bring in Scherzer and Verlander and try to hope for some magic to happen, even though they're at an advanced age. David Stearns is the complete opposite of that.
Well, and also, I think there's a trust and a confidence, and this is going to be the heat check moment for it, is how good is this pitching lab? Griffin Canning last year made the same amount of starts as Jose Quintana and threw the same amount of innings. The difference was he pitched to a 5 ERA. Can this lab do wonders with Griffin Canning? And if it does, great. Then David Stearns gets the last laugh. But as we sit here on March 4th, I am very, very surprised that Jose Quintana only got $4.5 million.
But not that doesn't seem that upset. You don't seem that worried about it.
I think that I'm expressing an opinion of, boy, I wouldn't have done this. But there's still a level of trust that I have that if it gets broken, my tone will be very different.
Yeah.
But in year one, it was such a raging success that it would be dishonest for me to be screaming about it here on March 4th. They've earned that trust. But just on the surface, Griffin Canning is making the same amount of money as Jose Quintana. And we'll see if that turns out to be a great decision or not.
I wonder out loud here. I know it's not 100% across the board, but Stearns reminds me of a kid playing with his action figures.
What do you mean?
They haven't, meaning he doesn't have, this. Like, you get Buzz Lightyear, and all of a sudden, Woody's not your favorite toy anymore. We've seen it with Alonso, Iglesias, with Quintana. It's almost like they want the new toy in here instead of having any sort of, affiliation with somebody that was here that had success last year.
I don't think it's
so
that.
So Griffin Canning is Buzz Lightyear and Quintana is Woody.
I think it's he's looking at a guy who's 28 years old versus a guy who's 36 years old, and he thinks, you know, we could turn him into something. It's the heat check moment for this pitching lab.
Well, okay, so then does he just want to be the smartest guy in the room every year? I'm cool with it. Like you said,
no,
it has
you're
success.
Not based on that tone, you're
not. I was just trying to give
you
another.
You can rip him. It's fine.
No, if anything, I've defended him with the Island of Misfit Toys with the rotation.
No, but how about Quintana? I mean, that's who we're talking about.
I'm more annoyed. I have an issue with Iglesias, to be honest with you. I'm just trying to make the comparison from Iglesias to Quintana, two guys that helped you. Quintana lands with the Brewers. I assume Iglesias is going to land somewhere. He better not be with the Yankees.
The reason why I'm not mad about Iglesias, and I'll try to walk you into my area here, is do you think he's hitting 340 again?
No, but I do think he
can. Just start there. You think he's hitting 340?
He is obviously not going to hit 340.
Okay, let's move on to the next step. I got to get you to the right place.
Come on.
Number two. Do you think that Brett Beatty has a chance with opportunity to not be Mark Vientos, but become a really useful offensive player for this team now and in moving forward?
I would say of all the young kids, I'm down the most on Beatty because I've seen him have lack of success.
So you don't believe in him? You think he's trash?
I have more belief in a Jet Williams or an Acuna.
Well, for those guys aren't. Well, Jet won't make the team. Acuna could make the team. My point is, if Iglesias is signed, Brett Beatty is starting in AAA.
I'd rather have Iglesias than Beatty.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, I guess that's where I just
differ. For the leadership, and I'm just being so transparent here. It would kill me if he went to the Yankees.
You got to get over it.
No,
if he goes to the Yankees.
Just sign him and don't allow him to go to the Yankees.
If he goes to the Yankees, the question goes back to the first question he asked. Do you think he's hitting 340?
Thank you.
I do think he could hit 280. I think the defense is sensational. He fills a need on their team, third base. Great locker room guy.
Yeah, but that's not...
the new single he's got could be the Yankees rallying.
But one's saying he wouldn't be a good fit for the Yankees, but he's not going to be in all likelihood what he was last year. And that's what we have to kind of keep in mind.
Right.
At best, he'll hit for a decent average. He'll put the bat on the ball, and he does play good defense. He's a mid-30s backup infielder, and there's value to that, but the Mets have guys who can fill that role. The Yankee thing is completely different, and what you got to do, because I know it, I can hear it. I can hear it in your voice. You're too infested with the Yankee-Met big brother, little brother thing. Just ask yourself, does he fit the Mets?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, well, stop right there. Don't worry about the Yankees. I don't think right now he fits the Mets because the Mets have so many other options. To me, Brett Beatty being the first guy, I want to see Brett Beatty get another shot.
And
if he fails and he sucks, fine, he's gone. But if Iglesias is here, Beatty's not on the team.
But
that's the reality.
Iglesias is a proven major leaguer, correct me if I'm wrong, former All-Star, a guy we've seen on this stage do well. He deserves a contract based on everything he did on
and off
the
field.
Beatty's done nothing.
It's not about deserving. It's about projecting next year. It's kind of like the Griffin Cannon Quintana thing.
Yes.
If it's just about deserving and we're looking at last year, just bring everybody back. You're looking ahead and you're looking to the future. Brett Beatty can serve a more valuable role as an offensive player.
But Iglesias has a better floor, in my opinion. We know what his floor is.
Okay, what about
Beatty
the ceiling?
Beatty could be horrible.
What about the ceiling?
Oh, Beatty has a higher ceiling,
there you
of
go.
Course.
So you agree with us?
No, but anybody like Beatty that we haven't seen a lot of has
I'm
a higher
ceiling. Came around.
Well, I think Lugie is looking at this as a championship possible season. And I think I don't think David Stearns is doing that.
Oh no, you're wrong about that.
If they go on a run.
Yeah.
If they looking at this as we're going all in for a championship, they would not have had these questions with these young players. They would have went out and got, I don't know, Alex Bregman. They would have gone out and got shored up their pitching staff. There are still questions in their pitching staff.
This is not a
we're going all in situation. I think that's what Lugie wants it to be, and it's just not what it is.
Well, I disagree, though, because I think that teams, even big market teams like the Mets, like the Yankees, even the Dodgers to a degree, are going to have to rely on some young players to contribute. And I'd argue that the Yankees aren't in the World Series without the contributions of Luis Gil. The Mets aren't in the World Series, or the NLCS, they didn't get to the World Series, my apologies, without the contributions of Mark Vientos. You need young players to step up. I think Beatty's role on this team is that of the 26 man on the roster who could serve a bigger role.
So when you look at a team like the Dodgers, every year it's going to be the same thing. They're going to put every resource into putting the best possible team out there. Maybe some of it is young guys, but a lot of it is going to be paid for veterans. And I think fans of other teams, like the Mets, that are also spending a lot of money, think that they should do the same thing.
For the 26th guy on the roster? Because that's what Iglesias is.
Other fans think that they should do the same thing.
and they're just not.
Yeah, but for the 26th guy on the, because that's who we're talking about right now, right? We're specifically talking about Iglesias in that role. I'm not talking about another starting pitching arm.
I think people are warped because Jose Iglesias is such a positive clubhouse guy that seemed to lift this Mets team from a year ago to heights that nobody thought they would.
He did an amazing job.
But was it him or was it Francisco Lindor being ridiculous?
It was all of it. I think he contributed to it.
Of course he did. But
you think he can do it again? You know the answer is no. You're on my side.
Of course I am. It's not. I'm trying to explain why Lugie is saying go get Jose Iglesias
because of last year.
Exactly, and it's that you're not in that world. You can't do that. There's one team that can do that. It's the Dodgers.
Well, it's not even about that because I don't think it's about money. I think it's just about he's the 26th man on the roster. They have other options. Young players where, yes, there isn't that floor because we know Iglesias' floor, but the ceiling is a lot higher.
I just think Iglesias is a good baseball player. By the way, he hit 292 in 2022 with the Rockies.
Tommy,
let me ask you this question. Hold on. Would you rather have Jeff McNeil or Jose Iglesias?
I think the ceiling on Jeff McNeil is higher.
No, I couldn't disagree with you more. I'd rather have Iglesias get rid of McNeil.
But you're already playing Jeff McNeil, so why would you...
Get rid of McNeil.
He also
that
can
open up avenues for young players and bring in Iglesias.
I was okay with trading Jeff McNeil. He just didn't have that much trade value. And so they weren't going to eat his contract to send him away when he can still be a useful player. I just think that the 26th man on the roster is not worth getting crazy about. And that's who we're talking about right now.
Also, March 4th, he's not signed anywhere.
He could be a Met. If they have injuries, he could very well be a Met. I hope he's not, because that means there are injuries.
But the point being, with Tommy's hitting on average list, obviously the rest of Major League Baseball feels the same way David Stearns is.
Well, not worth it. I can't believe you're saying this. You literally need a starting third baseman. Iglesias could be your starting third baseman, and a hell of a lot better than the options, if you ever want to call him that.
He's a 26th man and extra infielder.
Yeah, okay. Is he a better singer or a better baseball player?
Singer. We heard that new single.
In 2025. I'm being honest. In 2025, better baseball player or better singer? Because he's already a fantastic singer.
I mean this in all seriousness. I think it's even. I think he's a damn good baseball player, and he's got a fine singer.
I have no idea why he wants to play baseball anymore. I swear to you, I have no idea.
Maybe he doesn't. I think he had a wonderful year last year. I think sometimes you got to look and say, all right, is that going to happen again? And the odds are no. Like, if the Mets announced they were signing Jose Iglesias tomorrow, I wouldn't be upset. But I understand why they view Brett Beatty and Luis Angel Acuna as better options. But at the end of the day, we're talking about the 26th guy on a roster. Let's go to Artie in Brooklyn. What's up, Artie?
Hey, guys. I can't believe I'm saying this. Last week I saw a mock draft where Shadur dropped to the Jets, and now I don't want him.
Because of that?
Because of what?
It's crazy because... You know why? Because so many teams that need a quarterback are not taking him. Then I read the analysis on it, and you know what they say? Average arm, average athletic ability, throws the best ball out of all the quarterbacks. You know who he is? Mac Jones.
You think he's better than Mac Jones?
I think he's better than Mac Jones. I think he's got a bigger arm than Mac Jones. Mac Jones is a winner, though.
Well, in year one, he was.
No. I mean in college.
Right.
I can only evaluate college because there's no comparison for Shador in the NFL currently. In college, Mac Jones was a winner.
It's funny.
Now, he had a ton of talent
at
Alabama, but he was still a winner.
If the Jets draft Shador, Mac Jones, Sanders, and they win 10 games and make the playoffs, we'll be pretty ecstatic.
Absolutely.
The problem with Mac Jones is what happened after year one. Let's go to John on Long Island. How are you, John?
Pretty good. I really need Tiki to help me out here and get you off of being a Jets fan, try and switch you to Giants or Bills.
What?
You were a Met fan. You're a Met fan. They got the two best pitchers. They did nothing. You were a Net fan. We know what happened there. They did nothing. They got the three best players in the league. You're killing the Jets. You're like a real-life Eddie Mush.
John, can I defend myself on this regard? Forget the Mets for a second because they did win something. The Nets have been losers long before I rooted for them, and the Jets have been losers long before I rooted for them.
So why did you?
Why do I get the blame?
Why did you start rooting for them?
Well, I think in the case of the Mets and the Jets, my dad was a Mets and Jets.
Right, that's easy.
In the case of the Nets, my dad's history with the Nets is a little bit more complicated.
Was he a fan?
He was and he wasn't. So the Nets used to play on Long Island. And when they were leaving the ABA to join the NBA, they had a huge marketing campaign called Come See Dr. J in the NBA. It was a great campaign. My dad was a season ticket holder. Sidney Thigpen to the New York Nets, the defending ABA champions.
Right. On Long Island.
On Long Island. He's a Long Island guy. Come see Dr. J in the NBA. It's an amazing ad campaign. A month before the season, they sold Dr. J to the 76ers. Mm. They didn't trade him, Teak. They sold him.
Wow.
Just to give you a comparison, to give everybody a comparison, I want you to imagine that the Jets, as they're joining the National Football League, sell Joe Namath to the whoever, the Dolphins, as they enter the league.
Right.
It would derail a franchise, and that's what happened. My dad was so disgusted by that that what he ended up doing was kind of moving away from basketball. Never became a Knicks fan, but was like, you know what? I'm breaking up with the Nets.
Why did he just follow Dr. J?
To Philadelphia? I think it was more disgust with an owner who actually did that. And then when I got a little bit older, I was about 7 or 8, I started asking questions about basketball. And I think because I was already a Mets and Jets fan, which absolutely came first, I associated the Nets with the Mets and the Jets and the Islanders, who were already predispositioned to my teams. And my dad was not a Knicks fan. It was easier to go to a Nets game.
I get it.
And so it was kind of, and then he told me about the Long Island history, which made sense.
It was much simpler than that. Oh, Daddy, Nets, Jets, Nets. Oh, they rhyme. All rhyme. I got it. 5-year-old Evan.
That's how it happened. Jim is in Elmont. How are you, Jim?
Good afternoon, guys. I just want to see if you ever heard of Coco the Sign Language Gorilla.
I kind of did. That was like a gorilla that learned sign language.
What?
That's all I know. Yes. So basically
Coco,
the headline.
It's true. Now, I watched a little video the other day, and there was a claim at the end of the video that Coco, it was in 2018 at 47 years old, passed away and had a message for mankind. And the message was like, man, time, stupid earth. Okay, so that leads us to believe, this is true, it leads us to believe that Coco the gorilla has the capacity for critical thinking, pondering, ruminating. Earlier in the video, Coco was told that her cat sadly got killed. Now, Coco the gorilla supposedly has an IQ from 70 to 90. Coco knows about 3,000 words, and Coco could drive a car, what they claim. Anyway, wouldn't Coco, if she had the capacity for critical thinking, when told about her beloved cat passing, say, what happened? The person would say back, well, your cat got hit by a car. What's happened? Oh, my God. Who free cat? Oh. Who let the cat out? Meow, meow. Steve did. All right. Where's Steve? Oh, Steve, yeah? Steve, Coco, like a minute with you. Yes, Coco? Go in the door alone and lock the door. Steve's left alone, and maybe it gets bounced around like Samsonite luggage from the bouncer around the room. So, first, you've never heard the story?
I don't know what's happening right now. Like, what's the story? Did Coco go beat up Steve?
Yeah. That's giving me the hypothetical what I think the gorilla would do if she had the capacity of critical thinking. Now, she, of course, didn't do any of that. Of course, right. I'm saying if she really had that ability.
Ah.
Now, that is true. What I'm saying is this gorilla really did do sign language. Robin Williams went to visit the gorilla.
Right.
It was a very famous story. Now, can I throw this at you first in the history of the fan?
Go ahead.
If you could rate my phone call from 1 to 5, just rate, what do you think? 1 to 5, let's go around the room.
I would say 5 because you got me thinking about it.
You would go 5?
5 because I'm thinking about it.
The problem is,
I was trying to say, what's the sport angle here?
No, there was no sport. Right. Which is fine. I give him a 1 only because, like, 30 seconds in, I got bored.
Yeah, bored? I actually was not.
Were you enamored by it?
I was wondering what was going to happen with Coco. Waiting for the story to end.
So you give it a 5?
I do, because it made me think. It's like the conversations we have about aliens.
Yeah. Tommy, you screened the phone call, so I hope you're not biased in this regard. How would you rate that from a 1 to 5?
I would rate it a 1, but if I was California sober, it would have been a 5.
Interesting. By the way, speaking of rating things, can you pull the clip from last night's Met game, Tommy, that
sure
I sent
can.
You?
Yeah.
So I want you to rate this call by Steve Gelbs. Steve, if you're watching, I'm going to give you a 10 because I thought what you did was brilliant. But the question is, did you do it on purpose? What? Ladies and gentlemen, I give you a comebacker. Comebackers, hit off the pitcher.
Let's hear it.
Here is the Steve Gelbs call of last night's comebacker in a game between the Mets and the Marlins.
Pete Alonso behind 1-2 with 2 outs. Mets still looking for their first hit of the night. That one off the pitcher junk.
gathers and makes the underhand flip.
So the pitcher's name is Jansen Junk, but think about the way he called that.
Okay, where did it hit the pitcher?
Junk?
Where did it hit it?
It hit his body, Teak.
Did it hit his junk?
I don't know. But do you think, Steve?
Well, I mean, if you're just listening into it, you're like, wow. Got it.
Put it this way.
There's no way he did that on purpose.
Oh, really?
No way he
did
it on purpose.
You don't think that? Tommy, you think Steve did that on purpose,
I think,
right?
He 1,000% did it on purpose.
No, if he was going to do it on purpose, he would have accidentally put an S in there. Oh, possessive.
What do you mean, the junks? Can you play it one more time?
Yeah, give me one more.
This is Jansen Junk of the Marlins.
Pete Alonso behind 1-2 with two outs. Mets still looking for their first hit of the night. And that one off the pitcher Junk. Gathers and makes the underhand flip.
Oh, the pitcher's Junk.
So he used pitcher as an adjective.
Ah.
Instead of using it as the noun.
So you think he was literally just, the pitcher's name is Junk. I have it written down in my scorebook. It's off of Junk the way it was off of Scherzer.
Off of the pitcher, Junk.
Yeah.
As opposed to off of the pitcher's Junk.
I think he didn't want to be too much on the nose. So he did it on purpose, but he didn't want to be on the nose.
Okay, do we know
where
the ball actually hit him?
Yeah, it hit his body.
Okay, where at on his body?
It hit Junk.
Reese's Peanut Butter Cup.
What's funny is, I had the game on last night, very backgroundy, like I wasn't scoring the Met game, which you should be so proud of. And as that call was made, my head like zoomed up. Like I had the Islander Ranger game.
Did you know in your mind that the pitcher's name was actually Junk?
Zero clue.
You had no idea. So I was like, what did he just say?
I was backgrounding the Met game. Like I saw Kodai pitch. I was glued to that. I saw David pitch. But I was very much the Islander Ranger game. But I had the audio up. And as soon as I heard that call, my head just jumped up. And I was like, what did he say?
You're doing a spring training game. You're definitely doing that on purpose.
I think so.
Of course.
And so
it's a wink, wink.
How would you rate that call by Steve Gales, 1-5?
Because of the subtlety of it, I'm going to go 4.5.
Oh, I'm going full 5.
Love the subtlety.
Full 5. What do you say, Teague?
I think you could have, if you would have put the S on there, it would have been like solid.
Yeah.
So I got to go 4.
So he loses a point because he didn't put the S in pitcher.
Yeah.
After the ball
and
hit
he
Junk.
Done it subtly. Pitchers. Junk.
Just remember SNY and Steve Gelbs and Yes Network. We're always listening. Speaking of which, during the Yankee game last night, Aaron Boone gave some interesting information about third base. We'll get to that coming up. LeSean's got a Cinco de Fivo.